today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Jim, I was just thinking how awesome it is that bands with members in their 50s and 60s are still around and made great music in 2018.
Yeah, like Judas Priest and Wingtip Sloat.
Exactly. But there was something still being made in 2018 that was really not awesome.
What was that?
False metal.
So Sam mentioned he needs to be woken up.
Yeah, wake up, Sam.
I do need to wake up.
He mentioned that the kids like to sleep in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to wake him up with these picks.
Okay.
From listeners, favorite albums 2018. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
And let's go to the phone.
Hey guys, this is Trip Aiken calling in from not the suburbs of Portland today, but a hotel room in central Washington. Now that we've crossed over into 2019, I thought it was about time that I called you and let you know what my favorite record of last year was. I really went into December while I was making my mix thinking that the best record was going to be my favorite of the year, but I got a little bit philosophical about the decision. And actually, I'm going to select Judas Priest's Firepower as my record of the year. I think it was released in January or February last year. It's the first Judas Priest record I've really listened to in about 30-some-odd years, I think, since Screaming for Vengeance. It hit all those kind of metal tropes that I really wanted to hear. I was feeling a little nostalgic. And there's a big reason why Lightning Strike was the opening track on my mix for this year. Lots of great songs on it, lots of metal songs on it. Necromancer, Flamethrower, Spectre. Overall, I know it's a pick out of left field, but I looked at it, thought about it, really thought which of the records that came out this year would I be listening to in 5 years, 10 years? And I've constantly come back to this Judas Priest record and I've absolutely loved it. So there you go. That's my pick of the year. Hope you guys have a great year. Keep on rocking the suburbs every day and I'll keep on listening. Thanks. Bye.
How was that?
Sam? I'm awake.
Yeah, Sam is awake. That is pretty good stuff for a band whose members are in their late 60s and early 70s. Like, that's pretty amazing.
I was gonna say, Judas Priest came on around like 1975 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Mid 70s when they started to become really popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been around for some time.
Yeah.
So yeah, to still be putting out music that is someone's favorite. That's pretty good, right?
Pretty awesome.
And they did tour in 2018, I know, and that's awesome too. And you know, it's interesting listening to Tripp's reasoning for his pick, and I want to ask you guys about this. When a record comes out early in a year, like if a record comes out in January, and then you're not making your final pick for the best of 2018 until all the way, into November or December, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we heard maybe Kevin Clement or somebody mentioned too, a record that came out fairly recently. And, you got those ones that you're listening to and they're kind of stuck in your brain because they're new. And then you kind of forget about those ones that came out like earlier in the year. It's always a dilemma, and I would love to have the time to go back and review like the ones from earlier in the year, but I don't. But I think it's really cool that Tripp went through that reasoning process and, picked one that's not just like, well, what have I been playing lately? It came out this year. I'll choose that. So
yeah.
I think that's cool.
I think that's cool. And there's also this problem that I think people have, and this can be applied to anything in terms of how things are released, but people, I think, will most likely remember things that came out at the start and things at the end, and they'll sort of forget about things in the middle. And it does make the process of selecting favorite albums tougher. And that is why I love that listeners have sent in, because it's showing all of the other albums that I've missed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a big part of it too. Where do you stand on this, Jim?
Well, as I was putting together a bunch of songs that we have for the mixtape that Trip is going to get, and others who called in are going to get, I did have to make a sort of a concerted effort to go back and review earlier in the year the records that came out the first half of the year. Mm-hmm. Because you're right, the stuff that's later is more top of mind. And, you know, just stuff you're really into right now and you think is great because it has sort of recency bias, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
But when you go back, what the fun though is when you go back and you're like, oh yeah, what came out in February? What came out in March? Yeah. You kind of rediscover it.
Yeah,
and
you
get
do.
To try to hear it fresh again, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say what it is, but my favorite album, because are we going to make picks later on?
I was going to ask about that. I think we should.
We might.
Yeah, we
I
might have we to might. Cap this whole thing off.
So my favorite one of 2018 came out in May. So middle of the year.
Okay.
Does that count as early in the
year?
Okay. All
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's definitely
and you
first
know,
half.
There's also kind of the wasteland of December. And, you know, because like people are making their picks and, you know, nobody wants anything new thrown out of them in December, like the year's over. But Mark Masters, who is Marcissist on Twitter, you guys should all follow him because he's very entertaining. He sent a tweet out that says, if you have complete artistic security in your career, go ahead and release your album in December. Because no, it's not going to make anybody's list for that year. And it's not going to make one for the next year, too. So it's just coming out.
And not very
interesting.
Yeah, not very many records come out in December.
Hardly
it's a slow
any.
Time. I think also because just people are so consumed with the holidays and all, and you know, Christmas music sort of takes over the radio and stuff, and people aren't really listening to new music that much in December.
Yeah,
right?
Unless you're like Eiffel 65 putting out another greatest hits album for the holiday rush.
Well, there's that stuff too. The that was good. one advantage I would say that some of the records released early in the year may have, though, is if it's a record that you felt like you kept coming back to through the year to listen to again, then you're like, well, that really should be my favorite because I kept listening to it a lot, right? And that was the case, I think, with a pick that I made. So
Yeah, and that's some of the worry about picking an album that came out in November or late October. You're like, is it really going to stand up? Mm-hmm. You know, like 6 months later, am I still going to like this or I'm just into it right now? You
know? That's a real challenge.
That it is.
So
I think it's like Van Hagar said, only time will tell if we can stand the test of time.
That's right. Truer words were never spoken. The one thing I want to say about Judas Priest. So, you know, I'm not particularly a metalhead. I mean, there's some metal music that I like, and I would put Judas Priest in that category. I've liked a lot of their stuff over the years, and they're coming around. They're still touring. You mentioned they were touring last year, but they're still touring this year, and they're coming around town. And I actually.
Oh, cool.
Thought like maybe I should go see them. I bet that would be a really fun show to go
see
to.
The Priest.
And you know, and I've seen Heavy Metal Parking Lot, right? And so I want to experience that. Mm-hmm. So they're coming to the Anthem here in DC, which is a big room. It's like 6,000 capacity. And even with that capacity, the tickets still go for $75.
Yeah, I know.
$75.
Oh, man.
So unless somebody wants to start a Kickstarter for me, I don't think I'm going to be going to that show.
That's right.
Yeah. As much as I would like to.
Or unless the band's listening and you want to send us. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Put us on the guest list. We're always amenable to
that. Talking to Rob Halford, that'd be incredible. That guy's a legend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
So anyway, so thank you for that. Now, here is our resident metalhead listener.
Hi, Jim and Patrick. It's Joe Fleischer. Thanks for a great show all year long and for the opportunity for me to contribute. My favorite album of 2008 is The Sciences from the legendary band Sleep, their first album since 1998. Sleep became legendary with a song called Dope Smoker that they came up with in 1993. It was 1 hour and 3 minutes long, one song. Their label at the time called it Unreleasable, but they later put it out on an album as several different tracks. But the legend of this anthem grew. The long version circulated unofficially and was eventually released by another label in 1998. But then Sleep was fed up with the record business and they broke up. Matt Pike went on to form a great band called High on Fire. Love that band. And they're great, but the thing I like the most about them is the music, the name High on Fire describes exactly what they sound like. And then Sleep reappeared suddenly 20 years later with a surprise release of The Sciences on Third Man Records. There was no pre-announcement. The record just appeared in mid-April. The sound is updated. There's better musicianship. I think it moves metal forward with great tunes, the longest of which is about 14 minutes long. I really enjoy it, and I'm also glad to see that High on Fire is continuing and also put out a great album this year, Electric Messiah, and I look forward to seeing them in May. So that's my favorite of 2018. Thanks for the great show, guys, and always I'll sign off by saying death to false metal. Thanks. Bye.
It wouldn't be a Joe Fleischer call without that sign-off, right?
That's right. It's become a legend.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about Sleep?
I like them a lot.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, that mix CD that I gave to you guys contains a track by Sleep.
All right.
Off of The Sciences. As Joe said so eloquently, you know, it was a band that was gone, and you'd be one of the least likely bands that you thought would put out a record, especially on Third Man, which is weird.
Yeah.
And especially after 20 years with absolutely no fanfare. Most people thought Matt Pike was just doing High on Fire, and Electric Messiah is a really cool record too. But this album is, you know, I think Joe said it right. It does move metal into a different direction. And those guys were really influential in kind of that Southern California desert stoner metal scene. You know, Dope Smoker is kind of legendary. You know, the song was an hour and 3 minutes, but they only thought it was 10. No, just kidding. But yeah, the playing is really heavy and at times it's like syrupy, but it goes back to that discussion I think you and I have had at times, Jim, where metal can be texture and you can see it as kind of like layers,
yes,
almost symphonic in a way. That's what you'll hear when you really get into The Sciences record. And Matt Pike is a pretty amazing guitar player. I mean, just listening to him kind of construct his guitar parts and put them on this record is pretty cool. It's fun to imagine how he kind of came up with those overdubs.
So this would not necessarily appeal to a fan of, say, like Motley Crue.
No,
it's not
at
that
all.
Kind of metal.
It's not that kind of metal. No, not really. It's a very, very different thing. And, you know, different than Judas Priest, too, in the sense that it's very textured and long, and it requires... What I like about it a lot is that it requires active listening. It's not a passive thing, which I love.
Judas Priest essentially writes pop songs,
yeah,
really.
They do.
And then, you know.
And they kick them up.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Okay, so what is the song off The Sciences that we should listen to?
It's a really good question because, you know, with an album with so many long songs, it's hard to find a piece of them. I mean, I think we've talked about it, you know, before with other bands. I mean, I think we could either hear something off Marijuana Knot's theme, which is pretty appropriate, or The Botanist, either of those two. Are fairly compact tracks off the record.
How can you not want to listen to Marijuana Knots?
Yeah.
Marijuana Knots theme.
I think I like the opening sound effect too.
All right.
Hear those guitar overdubs that Matt's doing there that kind of just go in for a little bit. It's cool at the end of that song when he kind of lets them all run wild and kind of blend on top of each other.
And what
cool
you were saying that it's like a texture.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to go piece by piece.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It takes a while. Yeah, it's a good driving record, although you have to be careful when you're driving to this album to keep your concentration because you could like veer off the road. They also have a song on here called Geezer Butler that's mm-hmm. about Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath. It's kind right. of a tribute track, which right. is really cool too.
It, oh, cool.
It actually has a lot of references to Sabbath stuff in there.
Well,
it's
funny,
a fun song.
Because I think you can hear Sabbath
oh, yeah.
sound
absolutely.
In this.
Absolutely. That's their core yeah. influence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I just want to make a quick aside about Black Sabbath. I recently watched, it's like a two-part documentary called Records Collecting Dust. Are you familiar with this?
No, I'm not.
I'm going to watch it.
So yeah. it's basically like old, like 80s era, for the most part, like punk rockers talking about their record collections.
Oh, really?
For the most part.
That's cool.
There's, nice. And there's two portions of it because it looks like one was mostly like West Coast, like Jello Biafra's on it and stuff uh-huh. like that. There's like a West Coast and then there's like an East Coast one, which has like Mission of Burma and like stuff like that. So anyway,
yeah.
But they're just like the first record I bought, the
that's cool.
You know, records that they really like, whatever. But it's about like physical records they have. But anyway, the thing that surprised me was how often Black Sabbath came
really?
Up. As treasured records, as like records they had when they were kids, as a, you know, Black Sabbath, I guess I did not realize how much impact they had on punk rock.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, certainly you could hear that in Black Flag and, you know, later when they did a lot of that instrumental stuff. That's really cool. I'll have to check that out.
That's cool.
Sabbath, man. Yeah. They were there at the beginning.
Yeah. All right. So thank you again, people who called.
Thanks, Joe.
We so appreciate it. We love hearing this stuff and being a and getting some, we love hearing this.
Yeah,
stuff.
We do.
So, another band that Joe here mentioned was High on Fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll play out with a track there, the title track from High on Fire's album from 2018 called Electric Messiah.
That's very All right? good.
All right.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. We appreciate the correspondence. You can do that yourself by emailing us rock@suburbspod.com or calling 612-440-1984. Or finding us on the social medias, right, Sam?
That's right. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @SuburbsPod. And please make sure to visit us at suburbspod.com.
Yes, do that.
Yes.
And also, please rate and review the show on iTunes. Please subscribe. Please take other people's phones and subscribe for them.
That's what I'm
right?
advocating. Yes, do that.
This is, yeah.
Respectfully, of course.
Of course. Yeah. You're giving something good to them.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, maybe you'll see a phone that's sort of like, you know, the person went up to get their coffee, something like that, and they sort of leave the phone there. You just go over there and subscribe.
Just,
right? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
Yeah, while it's unlocked, get in there, do some stuff. Yeah.
Perhaps Russian hackers could help us out here as well.
Yes, totally.
Right?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here. I mentioned Electric Messiah by High on Fire. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
And we'll talk to you guys again with more listener favorites tomorrow. How can you not want to listen to Marijuana Nuts?
Yeah.